And welcome back to the Touchdown City Show. I'm Anthony Lewis in the Stone Church Studio. And as we have been doing the entire season so far, we're celebrating the 30th anniversary of the 1993 undefeated regular season for the West Virginia Mountaineers. And if you've not heard any of the episodes, go back on our podcast archives. We've got some great interviews over there with some Mountaineer greats. And speaking of Mountaineer greats, I've got another one joining us. If you guys would please welcome Charles Emmanuel. How are you, Charles?
I'm good, Anthony. Thanks for having me on, my man.
Well, I'm excited to have you on because obviously, you know, the 1993 season is special for a lot of people, and it's hard to believe that it's been 30 years.
Yeah, it, man, it goes by fast, right? Yeah. It's hard to think that we had 30 years. I think I remember when we celebrated 20 years, about 10 years ago. Crazy to think that we're now at 30.
Yeah. So when you think back, obviously, you know, I've reached out to you. I'm sure other people have. You guys have some events coming back. When you sit and think about it and think about that season, what are some of the first things that pop into your head?
Well, actually, I mean, it was a, you know, you think about the guys, right, that you play with and the friendships and that you've developed over the years. But when you really think back on that season, you know, we had came off of the 92 season and we really thought we were a talented football team, you know, in 92. And really didn't know what 93 was going to, that season was going to look like. And, you know, but it just had the right leadership, you know, had the right chemistry of players, young players. I was, you know, among those young players that was, you know, we were talented. We wanted to make an impact on the field. And it was just a nice real mix of great leadership and good talent and a lot of young talent on that squad as well.
And speaking of good leadership, let's just start right there at the top. Let's talk about Coach Don Nealon and what he did, you know, leading his second team to an undefeated regular season. Just talk about Coach's leadership and how he made that all work throughout the course of that season.
Yeah, I mean, Coach, now that you look back over the years and you realize how hard that is to do, right, what he did, you know, two undefeated seasons and held in 96, we were on verge of doing it again. That's a whole nother story.
It's a whole nother show.
Coach Nealon is just, you know, top-notch, class A, class act. His leadership and in terms of, you know, developing a team and developing leaders and setting the right standard. It was top-notch. I mean, I look back over it, man. Was really fortunate and blessed to be a part of a program up under his leadership. You know, I think all the guys come through that era. I know, as a matter of fact, I mean, I know it because we all stay in contact, you know. Mm-hmm. We stay in contact. We appreciate those years. And not only that, I think his leadership just shows a lot of what guys on and off the field, because a lot of group of those guys have gone on, you know, in their lives and have led successful lives off the field, you know, as well.
Absolutely. Let's get into one of the big games of the season, and I want to talk about Louisville. Probably one of the most contested games of that on that schedule. I know a lot of people look at Boston College and they look at Miami, which we'll try to get into. But let's talk about Louisville. What do you remember about that game being super close and highly contested early in the season?
Yeah, man, it was hell. If I recall, Brom, it was one of the Brom brothers that, mm-hmm. that was a quarterback.
Yeah, he was quarterbacking.
Quarterbacking at that time, and they had a team. You know, they had some talent on the outside in terms of receivers. Obviously, a quarterback that was throwing it around, and it was a battle. You know what I mean? It was a back and forth battle, but there was something about that team just that year. If you really look at that schedule. We put off a lot of close games. We figured out a way to win it when we had to win it. And that was one of them. You know, it was a great home atmosphere. And we pulled out, you know, a close victory. Mm-hmm. But really, that's what that team was. It was, that's what it was about. We won a lot of close games that year to keep it going.
You mentioned the 1992 team earlier. And do you think the difference was, and I've heard a lot of guys say this, and just correct me if you think I'm wrong, and even Coach Nealon's quoted as saying it, the 92 team didn't get the breaks, the 93 team got all the breaks. And that was kind of the difference in the seasons.
Yeah, you know, that's like a coaching speak, you know, talking. You know, the player would say, man, we were just damn good, right? Yeah. 93. But no, he's right. I mean, we got some breaks in 93. We did. But what I really like the chemistry makeup of that team. Mm-hmm. And you had a lot of young talent, guys that, you know, were ready to emerge on the scene. Myself, Mike Logan, you know, Aaron Beasley, Van Washington, the Canute Curtis, the list can go on. I think John Thornton maybe came in after the 93, but mm-hmm. We just had a really good group of young guys, and then you had some great leadership in Mike Collins, Big Rich Bram, you know, Jay Kelsner, Darren Studsteel, right? Those guys, Tim Brown, you know, just really great senior leadership on that team with a nice, good, great chemistry of young talent that I think was a great mix.
The Miami game, big game towards the end of the season at this point. You guys are ranked. But really the national press, the press was saying, this is going to be the test for this team. If we're going to find out if they're for real this week.
Yeah.
What do you remember about the practices leading up to that game? And what do you remember about the atmosphere around Mountaineers Field that day?
Listen, I still get chills. I mean, just thinking about it right now, I'm getting chills because we knew it from the beginning of the week. I mean, literally, when you hear teams talk about you win during the week, not on game day, it really is about your approach in terms of practice. We had a hell of a week of practice. The buzz on the, just at the facility, you know, practices were, you know, high, intense. Everyone knew that this was an opportunity to get a big team in Morgantown at night. We knew we weren't going to leave there without a victory, right? And but you could feel that energy on campus and throughout the entire, you know, throughout Morgantown that week. And then, hell, you get the game day on Saturday. It's a night game, and it was an amazing, amazing atmosphere, man. It was just that's what it's all about, right there. Sold out crowd. Top-ranked teams, and you're playing late in the season for a chance to better yourself, to get, you know, get in position to maybe go and try to compete for a national championship.
Sometimes I've always been told that a lot of the, you know, obviously the preparation starts in the position room. Who is your position coach?
So at that time, our position coach was, I think it was Kevin Ramsey.
Ramsey, okay.
Yeah, I think it was Kevin Ramsey at that time, either Dunlap or Kevin Ramsey at that time. And
what do you remember about your unit? Just the preparation for in the team rooms and going over onto the practice field about prepping for Miami. What were some things that you guys had to kind of scheme and get ready for?
Well, you know, we knew they liked to throw it around. I think, you know, they had a spread offense, right? And they had a big – they ran a single back, but it was a spread offense. And we knew they were going to throw it around a bit, you know, and want to run with their big back. If I'm not mistaken, hell, I think it was James Stewart. May have been a running back then. But, you know, we knew we were going to have to play well on the perimeter, right? And you know, keep them from making big plays, right? Mm-hmm. Take away the big play and stay in the game with them, right? And create some turnovers. And we were fortunate. We were fortunate to do it. You know, create some turnovers when we needed it. I know Mike C got a big, big interception that game that really kind of turned the tide for us. And we were able to get the ball and drive downfield. And still remember it, man. Robert Walker punching it into the end zone, baby.
Yeah, you know, obviously late in the game, it was a defensive battle. I mean, if I remember correctly, it was 3-0 going into halftime. And then late in the game, you guys fell behind. What do you remember about that play? Obviously, it's before the video boards and you can't see exactly what's going on. But what do you remember about that pop when he takes it around the corner?
Well, I mean, when he takes it around the corner, and I think it was, you know, it was toward the scoreboard. Well, the open end of where the house go, that side. Well, you know, when Robert got outside, everyone on the sideline kind of knew he was getting to the end zone. I mean, Rob Walker, he wasn't a shifty guy, make you miss, but straight line speed, no one was faster, right? And he showed that several times throughout the year. Hell, even when we went up and played Syracuse and had that 97-yard run. But, you know, when we saw that, I mean, we knew he was going there.
Obviously, the celebration was huge, and we just have a few seconds here. What do you remember about the celebration and the atmosphere in Morgantown that night and even within the next few days?
Yeah, man. It's one of the most – I mean – one of the best memories of football memories that I have, really, of the students storming the field, jumping on the goalpost, pulling the goalpost down. Hell, I think they carried that goalpost man down High Street. You know, it was a crazy, crazy atmosphere, man. It was what college football was all about. So it was a special night. It really was.
The 92 team. I've heard Coach Nealon say that maybe he thought that team was a little bit more talented, but didn't get the breaks. When I look at the roster for the 93 team, the 93 team was, especially on the defensive side of the ball, it's probably one of the most underrated defenses that in school history. Obviously, the 96 defense is top of the list, and there's been some other great ones too. But this 93 roster, when you go back and look at it, I mean – obviously the young guys coming in, but the senior leadership was stacked.
Yeah, it was. I mean, you know, we were good at every level, right? And you want to have some dudes at every level, you know, defensive front, linebacker, you know, DBs. And I think great leadership at each level, you know, Big Barry Hawkins, on the D-line. I remember Barry playing up front, you know, Ken Tim Brown at the linebacker level, Derek Wiley at the linebacker level. Hell, Derek was a beast. Probably a 6'4 guy, athletic, and jump out the gym. And then in the secondary, you know, Mike C was a leader back there in the secondary, out on the corners, you know, Bees, Kwame Smith, right, Leroy Axum. We have some talent. You know, hell, Puppy Wright.
Yeah, Puppy. Remember,
Puppy Wright as well at linebacker. And I'm sure I'm missing some other guys, you know. But I think it was a really good defense as well.
One of the most, obviously, you guys take down Miami on the very same day. Notre Dame drops one to Boston College. And now you guys got to go to Chestnut Hill to play Boston College. I'm thinking it was Glenn Foley. What do you remember? I mean, set the scene for that, because this is it. Like, you're looking to go 11-0 and let the argument start about the national championship race. But what do you remember about getting prepped to go to Boston and take on the Eagles?
Yeah, I mean, that was an interesting week as well, right? I do remember that. I do remember Boston College going into South Bend and coming out with a close win, and they were really excited. We had just beat Miami. We were excited. But we knew we were going on the road, and we knew BC was good. And we knew BC was going to be physical, right? It was going to be a hard-fought, physical game. And it was going to be a hostile environment. I mean, it was a night game there, you know, for them. And so it was a sold out crowd. It was a little cool, you know, but, you know, that team was, we were focused.
We wanted it, you know, and it just seemed like it was a team that, you know, back to Coach Nealon's point, that did get the breaks. It was like it was a team, you know, it was just our destiny, destiny to end up winning this thing. And we got some bounces, man. there was a fumble that the ball literally bounces up in Mike Logan's hand, in his arms, and he recovers it. You know, and I think that what gives us the possession there to get a chance to put together a late drive. Dan Stutz there, like quarterback at that time, you know, takes us on that late drive and hit Air Hill into the end zone that puts us up. So it was a special team, man.
Yeah.
We did get some breaks. But, you know, it was a team that we wanted to win.
Mm-hmm.
We wanted to be good. We believed in what we were doing. We believed that we belong. And sometimes you can make your own breaks, you know, by playing hard, by being what you're supposed to be, by doing what you're supposed to do. And so, yeah, the ball bounced our way sometime, but we were right there to pick it up, right there to take advantage of those opportunities. And that was because, you know, that we bust our butt as a team to make sure that we were ready to play.
So, obviously, you guys finished the game 17-14. You make the trip back to Morgantown, and I don't know what you remember of the Postcard Center. Fans came out and waited for you guys to come back to celebrate with you guys. What do you remember about getting off the bus and meeting and being met with, by all the Mountaineer fans?
Yeah, I think that was probably, again, another great, cool experience that in the middle of the night, I mean, we don't get back until late, right? And we pull up, you know, the buses pull up and we get there. I mean, and the parking lot is just full of fans cheering us. I mean, it was crazy to see that many fans come out to greet us, you know, in the parking lot that night. Again, another just crazy experience that really reflects how much, man, the fans and the people in the state love and support, you know, the football team there.
It was quite the celebration. You know, one of the things that's really a common theme amongst my conversations with the other guys and with yourself is, and I want to kind of talk to you a little bit about the bond 30 years later, your relationships with these guys. Obviously, you go through this, you know, the practices, the blood, the sweat, the tears, the whole deal, but this team really seems to be pretty connected. I gathered that, especially from Mike Collins. You know, can you just talk about the friendships that were made and what those guys mean to you 30 years later?
Oh, man, that's everything, man. It's a tight unit. It really is. And I think that's what made the team special, is that we really enjoyed being around each other. We really loved the friendships that we had developed. And, you know, and we shared a special experience. Right now, we're celebrating, you know, 30 years of it. And it doesn't happen all the time. We have an undefeated team. And I think that shared experience keeps us connected, you know. And so, yeah, we stay connected. Mike C does a real good job of, especially with that group, of keeping us connected. You know, we're on a nice chat, you know, group chat, probably 25 guys, you know, from that team. And we're texting, trust me. And we're talking about the team every weekend. And it's a nice heated debate that goes on that text chain as well.
Nice. The something that I don't get to talk to everybody about, but it seems to be something that's lost on the West Virginia program, is the Florida connection. Who recruited you? Was it Doc that brought you up?
Yeah, it was Doc that brought me up.
And obviously, I mean, you've probably seen it. It seems like over the last, especially the last 10 years or so, 12 years, 13 years, the if you look back at the 80s, the 90s, there were always the Florida guys on the team, and then it just started to kind of die off. Is there a special bond amongst the Florida crew that made it their way to Morgantown?
It is. It is. I mean, when I came in back in, you know, the early 90s, I think we probably had anywhere between, you know, 20 to 25 guys on a roster that were from Florida, mm-hmm. you know. So it was almost like a home away from home for Florida guys. Mm-hmm. A lot of us played against each other in high school. We knew each other. Some played at the same high schools, and we go back and help recruit.
Yeah.
As well. And yeah, it is a stuff. You know, we still stay connected. We'll get together. A lot of those guys, we see each other often.
What was it about Doc that I've heard a lot of stories about Doc? And especially going down into South Florida and getting guys. What was it about Doc that kind of made him the it guy in Florida for so long? I mean, even the Florida Gators came and got him. NC State came and got him because he had just had that way and he could go to Florida and get guys to play for him. What was it about Doc that, you know, brought you to West Virginia?
Yeah, Doc was, obviously had a way about himself. Right? Mm-hmm. He knew how to talk to you. And he knew how to handle. He knew how to work the parents as well, right? Mm-hmm. Doc was pretty smooth talker. But, you know, the real thing about Doc was willing to go where folks probably wasn't willing to go, mm-hmm. right? Offbeat, some of the small schools, some of the small areas. And he worked. I mean, I went to South Fork High School. I grew up in Indiantown, Florida. That wasn't, you know, it's not like you're recruiting from out of state. You just want to fly to Miami and you just circle the teams in Miami.
Right.
You got to go and find some talent. And so he was willing to do that. And I think it paid off, right? Obviously it paid off for West Virginia, and other places that Doc has been.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, Charles, I appreciate you taking the time to join me. It's been a pleasure talking to you and even your teammates about this experience and just a little backstory for me. You know, this obviously the 88 team is a lot of times that's the team that comes up first when people talk about, you know, great teams and because you had Major Harris. But for me, right. The 93 team was like, it was super, for me, it's one of the special teams just due to the fact that I was a little older at the time. I was a senior in high school and I was able to kind of watch this team pull out some close victories. And I think my memory is a little better of it. But it really, there's some games that really stand out that kind of make this team near and dear to me. So this has been a lot of fun for me on a personal level, just getting to know some of you guys and hear the stories and, of course, share them with our listeners. So I appreciate you taking the time and joining me and talking about these things. I know.
No, I appreciate you giving me the opportunity to come on. I guess you, as a young kid going through it, you don't. You just enjoy the moment, right? Mm-hmm. And now you look back over the years and you see that it just wasn't a moment. It was a special one.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, thanks so much for joining me. And you'll be in for Texas Tech?
Yeah, I'm going to try to get up. Okay. I got three boys now that's in high school that's playing ball. And I volunteer coach with them. They're all on the same team. This is the first time I got a senior, I got a sophomore, and I got a freshman. And the freshman gets some varsity time.
Oh, good.
A little bit as well. But yeah, so if I can make it, I'm definitely going to try to come up and participate and be a part of the 30-year, you know, festival, that type of deal.
Absolutely. Good stuff. Well, good luck to you and your team and your sons and your coaching. And it was a pleasure to talk to you, and I'll keep in touch with you. And hopefully, you know, if you don't make it up for Texas Tech, maybe there's a time when you're coming to town, and because I go on a pretty regular basis, we can meet in person and chop it up a little.
We'd love to do it, Anthony. All right. Again, I appreciate you having me on.
I appreciate you. Thank you so much.
All right. Take care.
Take care. Mountaineer great Charles Emmanuel there talking about the 1993 undefeated team. It's great to catch up with him. And of course, for the listeners, we appreciate you guys taking the opportunity to download this full podcast. If you didn't catch the other shows, go back and check them out. We've got Aaron Beasley. We've got Mike Collins. We've got a lot of former players from that team. We've put the Mike Baker was a great interview. And of course, this episode, go back and listen to them. It's been a great experience going back and reliving the 1993 undefeated regular season. So to the listeners, thank you guys so much for listening, and we'll see you next week on the Touchdown City Show.